me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Leviticus chapter 19. I'm sorry, 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, ye shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, nor the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, nor of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. That's a timely topic, isn't it? The perversions of marriage and intimacy. And there is a catalog of them here. And it is indeed in a situation like this, in mixed company with women and children and men and everybody meeting together, it's difficult to talk about these things openly and frankly and explicitly. Of course, we won't do that. But there are several things. And I know that some of you are, when you approach the reading of Scripture, that Leviticus 18 is a squeamish chapter. It's a passage that you're squeamish reading out loud. I understand that. And I understand that it's a difficult topic to speak of. But I also understand that God, who loves us, has told us these things for our good. And that if we don't talk about them, then we render ourselves the more liable to at least some of the perversions that are here. And so we must address them because God has addressed them. He has spoken to us like adults. Let us receive this like adults. And let us understand what the Lord our God would have for us. The first thing that I want you to understand about this chapter is that there is one God, and because there is one God, there is one standard for all of mankind. And so the Lord says in several places here that those abominations that took place in Egypt and the abominations that will take place in Canaan, they are still abominable, even though it's Egypt and Canaan. God is their God as well. And although they do not acknowledge Him, and they don't call upon Him, and they don't love His law, and they don't love Him, as a matter of fact, they hate His law, and they flout it to His face, He is still their God. And so God will cause the land to spew out the inhabitants of such abominations. And He punctuates that with the exclamation point, I am the Lord. So let us remember that in our nation, as we go down this road, and frankly, as bad as it is, it can get a lot worse. Let us pray then that the Lord would grant us a respite, reformation, repentance before this land spews us out. This is the direction. God is still God. The same God that wrote this governs our affairs today. Secondly, as we have been progressing through the book of Leviticus, the Lord has been teaching them about their sins. He's been teaching them about all kinds of things that they would think natural, inadvertent. You remember all those things we've been talking about? Animals that they see wandering around. No, you can't have those. Things that happen to their bodies in the night. Sorry, that means you need to wash and you need to be clean. You are now defiled. Things that are growing, things that they would do, things that they would participate in just as a natural course of living that the Lord says, no, they're sinful and you will be a holy people unto me. Even in some things that they would not normally have understood. In other words, that the light of nature through our fallenness would have otherwise taught them, but did not. The Lord tells them, sorry, you can't do that. Notice here that this is a progression of that same thought. There is not a lot in the light of nature when it's viewed by fallen humanity. Fallen humanity. To teach us some of the things here that the Lord teaches us that are off limits to us. And yet the Lord says, in these laws of consanguinity and in the laws of affinity, these people are off of the dance card. They don't belong on the dance card. They are not within the circle of those whom you might possibly consider as mates. He's not only talking about fornication here, he's talking about marriage as well. And so the Lord would indeed separate. Now, I know that this is that there are certain things in here that may pertain to some ceremonial observances. And scholars are still divided as to every particular implication. And that there was a time within the world, out of necessity, when the Lord did allow for some closer marriages than He does today. Like, you know, Cain marrying his sister. Well, there was only one family. So we understand things like that. But those situations don't exist anymore. And so God has made it clear that not only can He regulate what we eat, not only can He regulate where we go, not only can He regulate our time, but He can regulate who we're intimate with and who we marry. He is Lord of that as well. And it is indeed a sign of great wickedness and judgment in any society that would throw off those restraints and take to themselves, or can I say it this way, arrogate to themselves the right to say, as we hear it today, who they can love or not. Brothers and sisters, that is simply a euphemism. It is simply a high-sounding way to say, we have a right to sin when we want. That's all it is. The Bible is clear, our confession is clear, that God regulates who we are able to marry. And so if you, after having read Leviticus 18 together, if you want, sometime this afternoon during your meditations, to open up your confession of faith to the chapter on marriage and divorce, you will see Leviticus 18 referenced numerous times. And those commands and counsels that we hear in Leviticus 18, you will hear reiterated in our confession of faith. Because it is indeed the summary of what the Bible teaches on these things. And so as our society goes farther and farther down the road to the perversion, or toward the perversion, or, can I say, deeper into the perversion of intimate relations, let us remember that we are only heaping up greater and greater wrath. And that is indeed one of the reasons your presbytery has called for a fast within our bounds for this week, this coming Thursday. It is because of these kinds of perversions. Now notice that Israel was not permitted within their borders to permit these things. Not only did the Lord say the land spewed out them and Egypt was conquered because of these things, but also if you have a stranger that is sojourning among you after the nation of Canaan, after the people of Canaan are spewed out, after the Canaanites are spewed out, those seven nations, and you inhabit their land, if a stranger sojourns among you, you won't allow this kind of garbage. Because if you allow it, if you're complicit in it, then what you're doing is you're sinning as well. You may not participate in it yourself. But if you're not grieved for it, if you permit it within your gates, if you say, well, that's just what they do, you bring yourselves under the chastisements and judgments of God. Brothers and sisters, let us then take this passage and use it. Let us use it as a motivation to redouble our efforts in prayer, that the Lord would grant our nation some kind of reform, that we would stop framing iniquity by law, that we would stop calling evil good and good evil, and saying love wins when love is lost. And truth has fallen in the streets. This is indeed a very pertinent chapter to our age. One, yes, difficult to read. Yes, difficult to read in mixed company. And yes, difficult to think on, especially when we think of the direction our own land has gone. But let us rise up in courage. Courage to address these things. Courage to pray. Courage to beg God for reformation and a return from the brink of disaster, from the precipice of destruction. Thus ends the reading of Leviticus 18.